God, we give you thanks and praise for what you have done already in this service and what you will continue to do. We pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be pleasing in your ears, our rock and redeemer. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So we're finishing up Jonah's story today. So it will not surprise you that today's scripture comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God, indeed. Okay, so last week we ended our time together with Ricky drawing attention to the fact that as believers, we have been swallowed up by the love of Jesus. And that we will be forever in his arms. And it's because of this truth that we can find comfort. Just as Jesus spent 3 days in the tomb, Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of a fish or a whale, whatever you choose to interpret it, or Galdog, as Ricky taught us. And as Jonah prayed to God, as he cried out to our Father, he was spat out onto the sand. That's where we ended with Jonah last week. We're going to finish his story today. Fish boy's story, as I like to call him. So after Jonah was spat out onto the land, God comes to Jonah for a second time, and he commands him to go to Nineveh and proclaim the message that he had been given. And instead of running away this time, Jonah chooses to obey God's commandment. It's like he's learned his lesson. So Jonah gets to Nineveh, and you want to know how many days he spent preaching the word of God? 3 days. Once again, we have that number 3 coming up. Now, Jonah chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that Nineveh was a large city, and it took Jonah 3 days to spread the message. But I was curious as to actually how big of a city it was, so I did some research. Now, within the city gates, there were around 1,800 acres of land. Roughly translated, that's about 2.8 miles within the city. Now, because I'm a pastor and I'm not good at math, let's round that up to 3. Jonah spent 3 days in 3 square miles spreading the message that God had given us. And as Ricky talked about last week, as he reminded us, on day 3 in Genesis, God created the land. In Matthew, Jesus laid in the tomb for 3 days before he rose from the dead. And now here in the book of Jonah, 3 days, an entire city was changed. And while this message that Jonah shares with the people of Nineveh is important, that's not actually the focus of today's sermon. Rather, it's what happens after that we are going to turn our attention to. You see, the people of Nineveh, they respond rather spectacularly to the news that if they don't repent, God would send disaster and calamity upon them. That if they don't get their act together, stuff would happen. Now, you would expect that one man's word would not bring a city to their knees, especially not a city as wicked as this. But that is exactly what happens. Once the news reaches the king of Nineveh, he takes off his robe and he dons a sackcloth. Not only that, he sends out word to everyone in the city, including the animals, that they too were supposed to put on sackcloth. For Nineveh as a city was in a time of mourning, a time of repentance. And this sackcloth was a physical representation of the city of Nineveh turning from their evil, wicked ways. God sees their actions, and in his loving kindness, he shows compassion on the people of Nineveh. He shows them grace and mercy, foregoing the disaster that he had indeed planned to unleash upon them. And this lights a fire under Jonah. And I will be honest, I get it. I get why Jonah is mad, but I'm going to tell you why. You see, the people of Nineveh were Assyrians. At this time, Israel was split into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom was made up of people from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. And in the south, in the southern kingdom, those were the people that were from the 10 other tribes. And during Jonah's lifetime, the Assyrians in the southern kingdom longed to conquer the northern kingdom. And they did. They weren't kind about it. They were brutal, the Assyrians. And Jonah, being from the northern kingdom, had probably witnessed some of the Assyrians' brutality. So it kind of makes sense why Jonah originally ran away when God told him to go to Nineveh. God was not asking him to go just anywhere. He was asking him to go into the enemy's territory and spread the message that there was grace available should they repent. While Jonah absolutely tried to get away from going to Nineveh, I can also imagine that when he did get there, when he got to Nineveh, he probably felt some pride in calling out these wicked people for their wicked ways. These were the very people who had attacked his way of life. Have you ever been in a similar situation where someone has done you wrong or brought harm to someone that you love, and you are asked or commanded to go and interact with them? I'd imagine that for many of us in this room, we would have run. Because that is what Jonah has been internally struggling with this whole time. So in Jonah's eyes, they have earned what is coming to them. They are going to get their just desserts. He had seen it with his own eyes. They had indeed been wicked. And surely, surely, God would punish those who had done the harm. But God does something that Jonah had hoped he would not. He forgives them. God witnesses their repentant behavior and responds in kind. And once God gives grace to the Ninevites, well, Jonah just gets lit up mad. And I feel for him. I can imagine that it's been a rough week for this man. He's asked to go to a place where he doesn't want to go, where he's not going to be welcome, and where he doesn't like the people he's going to. Then, when he tried to not go, he was thrown overboard and almost drowned. And then, he was swallowed up by a fish. It can't get worse than that. But then he was spit out by the fish. That's a hard week for this man. So here he is, having gone through all of that, and he just cries out to God, railing at him. You can imagine, but if you can't, I will interpret it. He was a little like this. I knew this would happen. I know this would happen, God. You are compassionate. Of course, you'll redeem them when they don't deserve it. And after railing at God, after being angry towards them, he stomps away to sulk while saying that he would rather be dead than be alive and have this group of people receive forgiveness. Yeah, in case it has not been made perfectly clear, Jonah had the audacity to get mad at God for the very thing that God had hoped would be the outcome when he sent him to Nineveh. He didn't get mad because he had fish guts on him. He didn't get mad that he had been thrown overboard. No, he gets mad because God isn't mad. It doesn't make sense. Except it does. How often do we get really mad at God or at somebody else because they have been given grace? Maybe you're at work and someone you know who has slacked off gets promotion, or you're in school and that rude girl who was mean to you gets to be cheer captain. We're a very human people at our core. And when we are hurt, our natural instinct is to lash out and hurt those who have harmed us. And we see that playing out here in Jonah's story. But God is asking Jonah to do something radically different than what our instinct could be. You see, God didn't just send Jonah to Nineveh to hold them accountable for their sin. He sent Jonah there to love these people. To love the very people that had torn the northern kingdom apart. And in Matthew 5, Jesus calls the disciples to do the same exact thing. He told the disciples to love your enemies, to pray for those who persecute you, to bless those who curse you. And friends, Matthew 5, it hasn't changed. He calls each and every one of us to do this very same thing that the disciples did all those years ago. And far more often than not, we respond in our lives like Jonah. Rather than being grateful for the gospel message that forgiveness is offered to everyone, we hold on to anger at the people who have hurt us, though they are just as forgiven as we are. But that's not how we're supposed to live. We have been commanded to love radically, to bless those who have cursed us, who have wronged us at work, who have made us feel bad at school, who have started rumors about us, who have gossiped about us, who have assumed the worst intentions in our actions, in our behaviors. Those people, we have been called to go to them. Oftentimes, and we don't talk about Jonah often because it's a kid's story, as we started off the series by saying, when we talk about Jonah and the whale, we talk about answering God's callings and how you can run, but you cannot hide from what God has called you to do. Remember the good and bad news from last week? We can't outrun God. But in this sermon series, we longed to take Jonah's story further and deeper. Because at the root of the commandment for Jonah to go to Nineveh is the commandment to love those who have hurt you, who have persecuted you. At the root of God's request to Jonah is a nudge toward humility rather than pride. As we finish up with Jonah's fish tale this week, I hope you leave knowing three things. To be a follower of Christ means going to places and interacting with people that we don't always want to see. It means giving grace to everyone, not just to the people that you think deserve it. To be a follower of Christ means that we cannot escape the love of God, no matter how far we attempt to run. Jesus made sure of that when he died on the cross. And to be a follower of Christ means that we let go of our pride and adopt a posture of humility. Looking to Jesus because he gave us the perfect example of how to do that. This isn't just Jonah's tale to tell, my friends. This is your story as well. For we were each once lost at sea, surrounded by storms. And it's the anchoring love of Jesus that swallowed us up and spit us out so that we can offer grace and forgiveness. Grace and forgiveness that we didn't deserve. Friends, this is your story. I just hope that you don't run from it as Jonah tried to. As the band comes up, let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you that you continue to run after us, that you chase after us, and that you have offered grace and forgiveness that none of us have earned. God, we pray that you would reveal to us the people in our lives who have done us wrong, who we don't want to forgive. And yet, those are the very people that you are calling us to share the love of God to. God, teach us how to do that this week. As we go to work and to camp, as we interact with our family and our friends. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.